And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all don't talk about this show. I mean, it goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. It's right across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And oh, by the way, that's just the radio. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, picking us up on live stream every single day. You can see inside the studios as we do the show. I'm talking about on X and YouTube and Facebook and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you guys that podcast the show after the fact, too, we appreciate you more than you could possibly know. So thank you very much for making this worthwhile. We appreciate you. I gotta say, we need to check on, JP, we got to check on Rayson from Hawaii. You know, we have listeners everywhere, but Rayson from Hawaii, you know, they got the whole thing with the giant earthquake. There was like an 8.8, was that what it was?
Yeah, 8.8. Tsunami. I don't know if the tsunami has been quite as bad as they expected, thank God, in Hawaii itself. But I think Japan had a couple of 8-foot waves.
Wow.
So, yeah, we need to check on Race and see how he's doing over there.
Yeah, I saw that Hawaii, like the islands were getting like 4.1 feet, something like that.
Yeah.
Which you look at and go, 4.1 feet. But then you think, okay, wait a minute. What does that do to like a harbor?
Yeah.
When the waves come in over the bows of boats and that kind of thing and just like sweep along and push things ashore.
But also the, I know I mentioned this to you before the show, but I mean, just the roads were so backed up and people were trying to get to high ground and get to safety. And apparently Oprah was not opening her private road to allow people to go through and, you know, get to safety. And instead they were stuck in traffic. Eventually she did. Once, you know, there was like minutes away from when the waves were supposed to get there. But somebody had a video too. Apparently there were armed police officers. Don't know if they were police officers or private security.
Probably private security.
Guarding the road, make sure nobody. And I'm just sitting there and like, that is just, I can't even fathom being so elitist in that mindset that you're not going to help people like that.
Yeah.
But thank God it hasn't been as bad as they expected yet. So,
Oprah. Mm. Oprah. Okay. Wow. All right. Well, let's jump on into, I tell you what, let me just text messages real quick. I see one from David at Bucky's. He's got an update, does he? Yeah, great. David at Bucky's. So the last few days we've been getting updates from David at Bucky's, one of our regular texters and listeners. He says his daughter has made it home from the hospital yesterday. Thank you and all my fellow ruffians for your thoughts and prayers. So that's good news because she was having a pretty extensive back surgery, if I recall. So, David, we're proud for it. Thank you for letting us know. Keep us posted. Bless her, Jesus. Next, Cameron from Decatur says the Harrison Bergeron story reminds me of Jonathan Swift and A Modest Proposal. There you go. Classics. Classics. Nofre from Lexington says, from the dawn of advertising, companies pick good-looking people to sell their products and commercials. These healthy women are having a meltdown. Nobody wants to see these folks with purple-green hair, with face piercings and armpit hair in commercials. By the way, American Eagle stock is up. The Sydney Sweeney commercial, which, by the way, also had an incredibly cool car, which is on my top 10 list, like a 65 Shelby GT350. Yeah, the libs are going nuts.
I've been very surprised. I really shouldn't have been, but I am still shocked at the amount of backlash and uproar from the libs over this. There's a video of this girl standing in front of an American Eagle store, and the guy with the camera says, oh, what, are you going to go in? She goes around and goes, nope, I can't because I'm black, and then walks off. And yeah. I'm like, really? Really?
That's so. I've got that somewhere in my stuff today. I think it's in my Race Baiters and Charlatans thing. Yeah, it is, because they're out there calling it racism.
Nazi.
They're saying, yeah, Nazism. They're like, come on. She's blonde haired, blue eyed and attractive, and she's white, and that all of a sudden disqualifies her somehow. I guess we needed, you know, somebody with darker skin who was less attractive.
Extremely overweight and
yeah. Driving a crappy car.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a Yugo or something. Scott from Russellville says, great monologue once again. Thank you, sir. He said, it seems the left's modus operandi is total control by any means possible. Sad. I agree, Scott. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue. That's all he said. There's no
follow-up to that.
There's no also. Where's the also, John? John, are you okay? Blink twice if you have a problem. Anyway, Shag Nasty the Atheist is checking in. Okay. Shag Nasty has determined that the Republican Party is filled with pedophiles. Shag, the world is filled with unfortunate people. It's not confined to any one party. Although there do appear to be quite a bit of them in yours. Just saying. But he's suggesting that we start tracking down all the 1,400 GOP members that ended up being some kind of sex criminal. How about this? Sex criminals are sex criminals. It doesn't matter whether they're Republican or Democrat. I don't want them on the streets. There you go. David from Huntsville, do you have something? Okay, David from Huntsville says, always in the past, liberal Democrats could propose radical ideas to make extreme social changes, knowing the conservative party would always be the voice of reason to keep them in check. No harm would be done. The liberal party would appear to be compassionate, enlightened. However, today's Democrat party are indoctrinated, steeped in Marxist ideology, and demand change or else. That about sums it up. Yep, I would say. TL from Huntsville says, great monologue, Phil. Thanks for sharing about the Kurt Vonnegut story. He's a great author, but I had not heard that one. A great example. Yeah, go read it, by the way. Harrison Bergeron, a friend of mine, Chris from Gadsden, who texts in sometimes, texted me a little while ago, pointed that story out to me. I had either missed it or totally forgotten about it. Anyway, TL from Huntsville says, a great example of the need to be based on merit. Elon Musk said, DEI must DIE. I've been using that phrase. The point was to end discrimination, not replace it with different discrimination. Perfect. JT Lacey Springs says, could Trump create a DEI agency? Can only imagine those raids. Well, he has. It's called the Department of Education, and they're raining, you know, all kinds of brimstone down on top of the education institutions that are still trying to, you know, defeat Title IX and promote DEI. Alex Mathis says, arg, Kurt Vonnegut's book, Trout Fishing in America. That's what I was trying to say.
There's a bigger text.
Okay. Kurt Vonnegut, Ayn Rand, and George Orwell were all disturbingly prescient, she says. Vonnegut's Trout Fishing in America also showed a planet being run by computers. At the end of the day, though, if you read the back of the book, you're reminded we win. DEI has to die because it is not sustainable. Great words, Senator Williams. Thank you, Allie, my friend. Two more, and then I'll jump on the topic. Thomas Mathen says, Colonel, just watched an American sniper, the story of SEAL sniper legend Chris Kyle. What a tragic end to his as he was trying to help a suffering fellow warrior. These folks need our help. Yes, they do. I guess he's referring to my shirt. And then lastly, Jack from Huntsville says something that I can't read out, apparently. So I'll let you take care of it, JP. I love it when they say, don't read this on the air, right as I'm reading it on the air. All right, first dipper of the day is called Protecting Kids. And I got a series of stories that just boggle the mind. Like, how did that slip through the cracks? Why did that happen? Why is that policy what it is? Because you know who suffers in it? Kids. That's who. I've got a story here from Daily Wire. Matt Walsh, who's a culture warrior and not afraid to just step out there and say, that's wrong. Matt Walsh points out a story that needs to get more attention. Now, some people will say, this story's homophobic. That's all it is homophobic. Nope, it's not. This story is about when a sex offender is allowed to slip through the cracks. So the story comes out of a situation in, let's see what state this was in. I believe Massachusetts. And there's, Matt Walsh points out, there are two guys, a gay couple, who have apparently adopted a child or had the child through surrogacy. They hired someone to be the surrogate mother. And they posted videos every month, a new video, blowing out the candle on a cupcake and, you know, loving parents and everybody chiming in. This is great. They will be raised not to hate. This is the kind of thing we need more of. This is the way of the world. Yada, 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 yada. But those responses didn't last real long when somebody looked at that and went, wait a minute, haven't we seen that guy before? Turns out that one of them is a guy named Brandon Keith Mitchell. He's a tier one sex offender. Oh, this is in the state of Pennsylvania. He was arrested in 2016 after attempting to solicit a 16-year-old boy for sexual abuse. The victim was a student where he was working as a chemistry teacher. He was 30 years old at the time, and the kid was 16. He reportedly sent more than 12,000 text messages to that student. He ended up pleading guilty to felony child pornography possession and one count of corruption of minors. The bottom line is he was sentenced to 2 years in jail for being a child sex offender. 2 months after his conviction, he was granted parole, though. Only 2 months. 2 months. That's it. He got 2 months, 60 days. Part of the conditions, though, were that he have no unsupervised contact with minors. So somehow, he was able to work through the system, and he and his, you know, gay partner decided that they were great parents. and he was able to apply for and achieve the ability to adopt through surrogacy. Make that make sense? Oh, I'm sorry, you can't.
You know, it's one conversation if homosexual parents should be able to adopt, which, you know, that's a completely different conversation. But I feel like it should be common ground. Like, we all agree sex offenders should not be allowed to adopt.
Like, how about a simple background check?
Yeah.
How hard is that?
It's hard to shock me with a lot of headlines because I feel like we've seen anything, everything and anything, but that one really shocked me, that he was allowed to adopt a baby.
Yeah. I mean, you think, okay, first of all, that child is almost doomed from the moment that it walked in, it was brought into the house.
It's child abuse.
It is.
Like, the people who allow that to happen should be thrown in jail.
And now the child is probably going to be removed from the house, which means that any attachments it may have been forming over the last 6 months of its life are now being uprooted because it never should have happened in the first place. It's using a child to manipulate what the adult wants, and that's just a gross, you know, manifest injustice is what that is. But then I look back here at home, all right? Let's not think, okay, it's blue state, it's Pennsylvania. Things up there happen because no one pays attention or because they're too busy woke virtue signaling. Well, you saw what happened in Bibb County. I hope you did. Then again, I almost kind of hope you didn't, but you know what I mean. Let me just revise. Phil, use your words. Let me just recap the story for you. We have a horrible situation in Bibb County, which, if you're looking at a map and you're not familiar where that is, Bibb County, picture it as the interstate I-20 going from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa. Bibb County's halfway, and it touches the south side of the interstate. So Bibb County's on the south side, almost halfway through the trip from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa. We have a situation in Bibb County where a group of people have been arrested, where they actually had an underground bunker. Some say it was supposed to have been a storm shelter that was fixed up. I don't know. All I know is it was an underground bunker. And they were keeping children as young as two down there, sometimes chained to the wall, and then selling them for sex to people who would make appointments and come in. It's a horrible situation. They were abused. They were raped. There were any number of other things that are described in some of the articles that make it very hard. We talked about it on the show last week. Well, I've got a story right here, right now. So State Representative Matt Simpson and State Senator April Weaver of Alabama in the legislature are bringing a bill together to put the death penalty on child rapists. The interesting dynamic here is federal law does not allow that. So right now, the U.S. Supreme Court has already ruled in the past that the death penalty is currently applicable only in cases that involve loss of life. So were the child murdered, then certainly. But in this case, if the child was not murdered, federal rulings under the U.S. Supreme Court says you can't pass a law like this. They say they want to pass it just to see if they can get the Supreme Court to review it because they know it'll be challenged. There are other states. The article that I've got here says, I think Tennessee and who else? Yeah, Tennessee and Florida have already enacted something similar. Wow. But on that Bibb County thing, there are some Democrats that can't get past the fact that Trump's in office. 1819 News, I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. 1819 News, there's a lady named Mallory Hagan. Mallory Hagan, she's a former Miss America. She lives in Alabama. She's also a two-time failed Democrat politician. She's active in the Democrat Party in Alabama. She's a blue dot in the middle of a red state. But Mallory Hagan went out on TikTok and posted a rant the other day telling everybody who ever voted for Trump that you can't talk about what happened in Bibb County. You need to shut your mouth. If you live in Alabama, voted for Donald Trump, I better not see your blankety-blank comments say anything or nothing because the cognitive dissonance is outrageous around here. And says basically you can't have empathy for these children if you also voted for Trump. Get over yourself, lady. It's about the children. It's about the children. It's only about the children. That's all it is about the children. TDS is real, y'all. I'm telling you. We're taking a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. I got more on this. There's things that need to be addressed. And then coming up top of the hour, we'll talk to State Senator Sam Gavan about penalties for child perpetrators like this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. So I got a piece here from the Daily Wire talking about protecting kids. How about this? The Trump Department of Justice has now subpoenaed Boston's Children's Hospital for their alleged youth sex change fraud. What are we talking about? Well, what we're hearing now is whistleblowers are saying that the hospital has been recoding, because that's the way it works. If you're not familiar, when medical billing takes place, all the billing is done, and there's certain coding. They call it medical coding. You've got to be able to put the right codes in for insurance to reimburse, because they don't take long-winded explanations. They have these predetermined codes. This one means heart surgery. This one means a lobotomy. This one, you know, whatever. So they've been miscoding things to hide the fact that they've been doing sex transition surgeries and getting federal dollars to do it. So we're also finding out, though, that it's been happening on kids. Whistleblower testimony, according to Daily Wire, claims that hospitals are using deceptive billing codes to hide their sex change surgeries on children while making insurance claims under federal programs like Medicaid and children's health insurance programs. That's got to stop. And by the way, how desperate are you for money, hospital? How desperate are you for money if you're willing to sacrifice your hospital's integrity, your ability to have, you know, the medical practitioners there at all, because you want to get the next, you know, few thousand dollars for doing a mastectomy on a 12-year-old. That's just gross. It's also, oh, by the way, a complete and total lack of concern for the kids. Well, it was for the greater good. We were revolutionaries. We were trying to help children. No one would let us, so we had to do what we had to do. No, you didn't. You wanted the money. Because if that was the case, you'd be doing secret surgeries and not even charging for it. Isn't that the case? It's gross. It's absolutely sick. How about Oregon? The Populous Times. I think I said this on the show the other day, as a matter of fact. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has nixed a state law requiring adoptive parents to promote radical transgender ideologies. Can you imagine state law that says you're not allowed to adopt a child unless you're going to indoctrinate them on transgenderism? Make that make sense.
Yeah, it's one thing to not discriminate. Like, it's one thing to say, okay, we will allow parents who believe in this stuff to adopt kids. That's still wrong. But it's like, okay, we're only going to let parents that are for gender of this, you know, ideology to adopt kids. That's directly and intentionally putting kids in danger. You know, it's one thing to be like, oh, well, we can't do anything about it. But they're like, no, we're going to force kids to only go to these sort of parents.
It's also a violation of the First Amendment. I mean, it goes right against the ability to have the free exercise of religion. If you're a Christian and you believe that transgenderism is against your faith, like, it's not just you think it's sick and gross and makes no sense, violates science, but you're also, you have a faith-based opinion that goes against Scripture and you can't abide by it, and you have a state that you live in telling you better or you're not allowed to have children. I mean, anyway, the Ninth Circuit, which is one of the most liberal circuits in the entire United States. In the Ninth Circuit, I think I said the other day, I'd get laughed out of some courtrooms in Alabama for using a Ninth Circuit precedent. But the Ninth Circuit actually rejected the state of Oregon and said, no, you know what? That's not going to work. All right, listen, we're going to come right back. We got a conversation with State Senator Sam Gavan. I'm going to talk to him about whether or not this bill can pass that would put the death penalty on child predators. Protecting kids. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two already. Good Lord. Hour number two on hump day. I don't even know where hour number one went, but we're glad you're with us. Hey, listen, I've been spending the last little while here on the show in the first dipper of the day. So I'm dealing with the question of protecting kids, and I'm giving you examples of places where maybe they need to tighten up a little bit, or places where they need to consider their policies, or places where the courts had to intervene, like in the case of Oregon, where they said, if you want to adopt a child, you have to be able to promote transgenderism in the household. And all these things fly in the face of the common sense aspects or the faith-based aspects or just the cultural norms of raising kids. And it's about protecting kids if you get down to it, I mean, we don't want perpetrators having it easy. Like that case that I've got from Daily Wire that was in Pennsylvania. The guy was a registered sex offender, a tier one sex offender, who then he and his gay partner were still able to go and adopt a child through surrogacy. And you look at that and go, how did that slip through the cracks? Anyway, that being said, we've got a bill that's being proposed right now. I don't think it's been pre-filed. We've got a bill that's being proposed right now in Alabama that would actually create the death penalty for child rapists. It's going to be announced here later this week by State Senator April Weaver and Representative Matt Simpson. But I gotta say, I reached out to somebody who I respect greatly. He's a member of the Alabama State Senate. Sam Gavan serves in District 7 out of the Huntsville region. He's an attorney practicing on a daily basis, elected in 2018. We just missed each other. My time ended in 2018. His started. But what a great guy. And he's vice chair of judiciary. So, Sam Gavan, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Thanks for making time. Hey, listen, let's touch on this bill, first of all. April Weaver, Senator Weaver and Representative Matt Simpson are proposing a bill that apparently is already being done in Florida and in Tennessee that would put the death penalty on child rapists. What do you know about the bill, first of all?
So, well, it came up last year, passed the House, and Representative Simpson filed it. And then my recollection, Phil, is we passed it through the Judiciary Committee. And I think we had an amendment on there. There was something, I can't remember what the particular issue was, but I think we had an amendment on it. And I don't recall if it was, if it ever made the floor at all. Ever made the calendar? I just don't remember because it was, I think it was late in the session. And then just, I know from text chain I'm on that, you know, when this horrific incident in Bibb County,
yeah,
which I will drive through in a few hours, I'll go through Bibb County all the time. Just that it could happen there is sort of bewildering. I mean, I've been going to Bibb County since I was in first grade, probably before, but I remember it from first grade on. And that was a long time ago, my friend. it's just that it could happen there is just sort of, I mean, it's something like, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, Silence of the Lambs kind of stuff. I mean,
yeah.
I know it's a different type of thing, but it's, you know, things like that can be going on in a basement that you have no clue of what's going on from the outside world. But I knew April was planning on doing this in the last week or so. I knew that she was going to do it. I think I announced it on the Dale Jackson was talking about something else that I didn't think was as relevant. I'm like, you know, maybe we should be talking about this, because he's like, well, maybe later. But anyway, I think it's gotten some more steam. This is just so such a, I mean, everybody's just sitting there going, how can you fathom this? I mean, how can you take it in?
Yeah.
And it's just like, these people don't need to be in our society.
Well, let me ask you, has the bill been pre-filed, or do you know?
I do not believe it has. I believe there's going to be a press conference tomorrow. I will be in Montgomery tomorrow, but not for this press conference. We've got a lot of ceremonial bill signings tomorrow and some other matters to attend to, but I believe they're going to have a press conference tomorrow and kind of preview it. And there's a good chance, you mentioned judiciary, and I mentioned that it went through judiciary last year, but we have had a change in the rules, and I don't know if it's really registered with everybody, because we have so many bills come through judiciary.
Yeah, we do.
And that Veterans and Military Affairs, which I used to be vice chair of, my first quadrennium, we don't have as many bills come through that one.
Right.
But what we've done is we as a group, the whole Senate, is changed the committee structure up, and public safety has been moved over to basically Veterans and Military Affairs.
Oh, so, wow. Okay, so that could mean this bill could wind up going there then, right?
But this could go to either committee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so, all right, so it's an interesting dynamic here. You're vice chair of judiciary. I used to be vice chair of judiciary. I've seen the pounds and pounds and pounds of bills that come through there. You're right. I can also think, and you might want to allude to this, the makeup of the committees, which one is more favorable to getting a death penalty bill passed?
I would say veterans and military affairs and public safety, because I mean, I know Senator Figures, for instance, is just, she's just opposed to death penalty. I mean, that's where she is.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I get that. I've got a different opinion. But that's just one right there. And I don't remember what the vote count was last time, but I'm pretty sure it got through committee. And maybe even on a bipartisan vote. I don't recall that. But I think there are a few more Republicans on the Veterans and Military Affairs Committee as compared to the Judiciary Committee.
Let me ask you this. There's an article on 1819 News about the bill we're talking about, the bill which has not been pre-filed, because you're right, it doesn't assign a bill number to it. But it says that under a U.S. Supreme Court ruling, without citing the rulings, I don't know where it is. If you do, tell me. But it says under a U.S. Supreme Court ruling, the death penalty is usually only applicable in cases involving the loss of life, meaning that this bill might face immediate challenge by those who were opposed to the death penalty in general. And then, you know, potentially using precedent that's already set. I'm not aware of that precedent. Do you have any knowledge of that yourself? I know you don't practice criminal law on a regular basis, but I don't either.
I don't. I'm not specifically aware of it. I mean, I think that there has been sort of a general toning down in terms of manner of execution. I mean, one thing I've been thinking about since people want to complain about manner of execution so much and try to litigate that, I've thought about introducing a bill to the firing squad. I mean, that is a very long historic way of commencing, you know, carrying out executions. And so if you want to argue about being gently put to sleep, then or people don't want to sell us the whatever it takes, I guess I think probably your lethal injection is probably the best way to go. But people don't want to sell us the drugs to put that together. I mean, there's plenty of bullets down at Cabela's. I mean, we don't have to worry about that. But
I'm for it. I tell you what, after watching this stuff happen unfolding out of Bibb County, I'm for public lynchings while we're at it.
Well, I mean, I don't know why that went away. I think some states may still have it, but I mean, that is a long time form of execution. And when we start looking about, you know, going back to what is cruel and unusual punishment. So much of this has been with activist judges, and that's come up over the past. Over, oh, you can't do that. That's cruel and unusual. Well, I mean, we're talking about, you know, when the Constitution was done, you know, they were worried about being drawn and quartered. We were worried about the things that the kings were doing over in England. There were horrid, you know, being put on the rack. I mean, there were things like that that was, you know, clearly cruel and unusual punishment. But, you know, I've just been frustrated that. And look, I don't think, you know, we need to hang somebody for stealing a car, which would be the equivalent of stealing a horse back in the day. But, you know, in the 1800s, they'd hang you for stealing a horse. You know, I think everything's gotten a little bit out of whack. I do think there needs to be balance. Like I said, I don't think for theft and things of that nature, we need to have death penalty. We don't need to go in that direction. But what we're talking about, you know, cases where there is a loss of life, intentional loss of life, not negligence, not, you know, not manslaughter, not crime of passion, but where you set out to deliberately, you know, cause someone else to lose their life, and then, you know, and rape of a child. And I mean, I think rape is a horrific crime, and I'm actually okay with it just for the death penalty for that. But I don't think that'll ever fly. But
no,
you know,
but
perhaps for, you know, rape of a child.
But I think what we're looking at right now, too, these children in Bibb County could be the I don't want to say like the poster, you know, but if there's ever going to be an issue where you see child rape, molestation, even we're reading in some cases like child torture, you look at it and go, death penalty may be too good for them. And so I just wonder if we can get this passed. Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the point. But let me ask you this: what's the mood, in your opinion? Just going on a swag here, and I realize you're not all sitting in a caucus meeting talking about it right now. But what do you think the mood of the body would be on a bill like this in the wake of what happened in Bibb County right now? Do you think it would have support?
Yeah, I think there'd be momentum for it right now. You know, the one question would be is, you know, and I don't know where the Attorney General is on this. If the Attorney General were to come in and say, we're going to waste a lot of money on this, let's not do this, and here's why, which if he were to say that, he would tell us why. It wouldn't just be, I feel like this.
Yeah.
I think that could dissuade some people from doing something. But the House did it before. You know, I guess the question would be, you know, Senator Weaver looks like she wants to take this up, and it being her home district, she's probably going to get to carry the ball on
that. Oh, that's her home district? I did not realize that.
Yes, she is a Bibb County native.
Wow. Well, brother, I got to leave it there, but let's stay in touch on it. As you see the bill being pre-filed, if you hear discussion, I'd love to have you back on and talk about it, all right?
Sounds great.
All right, you too, man. State Senator Sam Gavan, Senate District 7 out of Huntsville. We appreciate you, man. Take care. Well, JP, take me to a break. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Get some of your thoughts on text messages, which are stacking up right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Got a news flash for you. Breaking news. Big deal. Here you go. You ready for it? Kamala Harris has said she will not run for California governor in 2026. JP, the sound effect of your choice. I don't care what it is. Something. However, CNN does have on the ticker, she leaves the door open for a potential other presidential bid.
Yeah, I'm seeing rumors on X as well that apparently reports are saying that this is because she's going to run again for president in 28. So
that's someone who cannot read the tea leaves, man.
Hey, I think she should. You know what? I think if she ran for president in 28, she could win in a landslide. I think she should do it. I think she should run. I think it's a great idea.
That's not sarcasm.
No, it's yeah.
That's not sarcasm at all.
I honestly, though, if she does, I think a Gavin Newsom and AOC, I think they both would run her over in the primary, in my personal opinion.
Oh, they would.
Yeah.
I mean, she would cackle her way into nothingness.
There's a reason they had to place her in there in this past election, because she got destroyed in the 2020 primary.
Oh, she
didn't even make it to the...
Barely 1%.
Yeah. She's awful. So if she does it, it's just going to... I think she won't even make it out of the primary.
We shall see, but right now what we can understand is California's dodging a bullet. Dave from Capshaw sends me a memo. A meme. What is this? Oh, yeah. American Eagle. Babylon Bee has a picture. You can imagine the picture when I read this out to you. It says, American Eagle apologizes and replaces Sydney Sweeney with a fat transgender double amputee of color.
Double amputee.
Holy cow. All right. There's that. Alan from Tanner says, doubling down on Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged is our future if we are not careful. I need to do a whole monologue on that. John from Harvest says, Phil, good monologue. Did you see the Babylon Bee headline? Federal judge orders Sydney Sweeney to gain 100 pounds and get one of those Butch haircuts. I did not. But that's a great one. What do we got here? Brian S. from Huntsville says... Shag Nasty, who texted in earlier, Shag Nasty the Atheist. Shag Nasty demonstrates an important difference between liberals and conservatives. Conservatives believe that people, even on their side of the aisle, should be held accountable for their crimes, whereas many liberals think that those who agree with them should be given a pass. Point well taken, as Shag was trying to say that all sexual predators are Republicans. Okay. Ken from Harvest says Louisiana has laws that castrate sex offenders. Alabama can do that and then enforce the death penalty. There might be some who take the death penalty. Just saying. You have a choice.
I agree with what you and Sam Gavan said, though. I think prison may be the worst route for all of them.
I've heard that. I've wondered before. I need to ask somebody if that's really the way it is. It used to be. I just wonder with what I would consider to be, which it's crazy to say this about the inside of prison, but what I call the watering down of standards and mores and laws and morals in the United States, I wonder if that would still be the thing. Just saying.
I think so. I mean, obviously, I can't tell you. I've never been to prison. But, I don't know. I feel like it could be worse for them.
I'm for whatever worse is.
Yes.
Jeff from Moulton says, Phil, love your program. I'm 54. I've been listening to your show over a year now every day. Never been much into politics. This was my first year ever to register to vote. Wow, how about that? On your subject, which we could never get to happen if we went back to the old days for robbing, cut off a hand for murder. Hang on the courthouse square. He says for the for the crime you're talking about, we could cut off a hand. For murder, we could hang on the courthouse square. And for child molestation, you take away their manhood. Jeff, I'm pretty sure if we could do that, we would probably curtail some of the crimes.
I'd say.
I mean, right now, they get three hots in a cot and sit on death row for 30 years.
Yeah.
Jeff Rowe from Indiana says, sounds like what that hospital did is insurance fraud, so who's going to jail? Well, that's the point. That's why the DOJ... Okay, so what he's talking about, Jeff from Indiana, referring back to a story that I had earlier in the show, that the Trump Department of Justice has subpoenaed the records of a Boston pediatric hospital because allegedly they are committing Medicare and Medicaid fraud by using basically recoding sex change therapies on minors as something else to get repaid by the federal government. And that's not supposed to happen. So yes, that would be fraud. Yes, somebody would go to jail. That's why they subpoenaed the records, so we could find out if they did it. James from ARAB says, that's sickening news out of Bibb County. It should be Exhibit A for the immediate reinstatement of public hangings on the courthouse square. I agree. Totally agree. Richard from Madison says, Colonel, I wonder if killing a child's innocence would be a pathway for instituting the death penalty for child rapists. Great show as usual. Thank you. And thanks to you and your crew for using technology to post previous shows. I missed yesterday's show for spending time with grandkids. Well, you know what? I'd rather you spend time with those grandkids than spend time with us there, Richard. Great priorities. Last one, going to a break. Herb from Gurley. What do you think? Epstein committed suicide? He did not want to go to prison. Retribution. Potentially. That's interesting. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.